Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to St. Mark's Lutheran Church, another beautiful Sunday to worship our God. We're going to do so today. This is the third Sunday in Lent. Lent is that season of repentance as we continue to look forward to the cross of Christ and what he did for us. And this season, this day today, third Sunday, we're going to look at Christ's zeal, both his zeal, not just for God, but also for us. And we're going to see how that inspires us in our zeal for him. You'll see that reflected throughout the service today. In the service today, we'll also celebrate the Lord's Supper. So prepare your minds and your hearts to receive the body and blood of the Lord. If you are not a member of St. Mark's or of a church within our fellowship, we direct your attention to a paragraph at the bottom of the inside cover of the bulletin. We will worship now, starting with hymn 226. Please note it doesn't say it in the bulletin, but we'll sing stanzas 1, 3, 5, and 7, the odd stanzas. May God bless your worship this morning and your zeal for the Lord. Please stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit,
Amen. Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins to God our Father, asking him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Holy and merciful Father, I confess that I am by nature sinful, and that I have disobeyed you in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have done what is evil, and failed to do what is good. For this I deserve your punishment, both now and in eternity. But I am truly sorry for my sins, and trusting in my Savior, Jesus Christ, I pray. Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. God, our Heavenly Father, has been merciful to us and has given His only Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ and by His authority, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord now. Almighty God, look with favor on your humble servants and stretch out the right hand of your power to defend us against all our enemies. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
You may be seated. Refreshed by forgiveness, we now go to the word of the Lord, and in the first lesson today from Exodus chapter 20, we see how zealous God is for you and me, and how that can guide us in our zealousness for him. From Exodus chapter 20. And God spoke all these words. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the parents to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Honor your father and mother, so that that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or his male or female servant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. The word of the Lord. We'll now join together in the psalm of the day, Psalm 69. We're going to do this one a little bit differently today. We'll sing the refrain like usual, but now the verses today, we're going to say it responsively by the side of congregation that you're on. So the left side, your left, not mine, and your right, not mine. So we'll say it responsively and join in the refrains as usual. We join together in the psalm. Perhaps you notice that Psalm 69 is a messianic psalm, one that pointed forward to the coming Savior Jesus. The zeal that he showed there, according to Psalm 69, he showed for us when he fulfilled the righteous requirements of the law in our place. We read from Romans chapter 8. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the flesh but according to the Spirit. Those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. The Word of the Lord. Now the verse of the day shows what Jesus did in his zeal, being lifted up for our sake. From John chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. Please stand in honor of the gospel lesson. The gospel lesson is always our focus every Sunday morning, and that's especially true today as we see Jesus' zeal for his temple. This will also serve as the sermon text for today, from John chapter 2. When it was almost time for the Jewish Passover, Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple courts, he found people selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and others sitting at tables exchanging money. So he made a whip out of cords and drove all from the temple courts, both sheep and cattle. He scattered the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. To those who sold doves, he said, "Get these out of here. Stop turning my Father's house into a market." His disciples remembered that it is written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." The Jews then responded to him, "What sign can you show us to prove your authority to do all this?" Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and I will raise it again in 3 days." They replied, "It has taken 46 years to build this temple, and you are going to raise it in 3 days?" But the temple he had spoken of was his body. After he was raised from the dead, the disciples recalled what he had said. Then they believed the scripture and the words that Jesus had spoken. The gospel of the Lord. We now join together to confess our faith publicly with a 1,600-year-old confession called the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is, seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became fully human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who
who in unity with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
You may be seated for the hymn of the day, hymn 456, Forth in Your Name, O Lord, I Go. Mercy and peace be to you from God our Father, through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. A sermon text for today comes from the gospel lesson, which you just heard read. So let's begin with prayer. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your temple. Amen. You ever have something really important that you have to do, or somewhere really important that you have to go? And something just keeps getting in your way. Maybe you're on the road and you're driving and you're on your way to work or to some event and somebody keeps cutting you off. You ever get cut off? It's frustrating, doesn't it? Or maybe you have a project at work and there's a big deadline that you have to meet. And all these little issues keep popping up that keep preventing you from finishing the project. Or maybe you get home and the house is messy and cluttered, and you feel like I just have to clean it up and put everything away before I can truly relax or before I can go to bed. Parents are going, uh-huh. Well, God, your Heavenly Father, is going, uh-huh. So you and I have things that get in our way spiritually, too. Things that prevent us from getting to our ultimate destination, or from the work that we want to do for God, or spiritual growth, or worshiping here in church. Lots of things can get in our way. God doesn't want them there. He wants you, all of you. He wants to get rid of those things, get them out of here. So today he's going to work to do just that. We'll actually see Jesus use a pretty unique method to try to clear them out. When we get to Jesus in our gospel lesson for today, he had just performed his first miracle, or at least the first one recorded in Scripture. He turned He turned water into wine at the wedding at Cana. I wanted to say grape juice into wine. That didn't make sense. He turned water into wine at the wedding at Cana. Now, a few days later, he wants to go to Jerusalem, along with a lot of other people, for a very special occasion. The Passover. The Passover was that 1,500-year-old festival that the Jews celebrated to commemorate the time when God delivered them out of slavery in Egypt, and it pointed forward to that sacrificial lamb who would take away their sins. All people all over, not just Israel, but all over the other nations would come to celebrate this big seven-day joyous festival. So, when it was almost time for the Jewish Passover, Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple courts, he found people selling cattle, sheep and doves, and others sitting at tables exchanging money. Since people had to go a long way, a lot of times, much easier to purchase whatever animal you needed to sacrifice there than it was to bring your own and lug it over great distances. So doves for the poor people, and then sheep, and then cattle, and all of that for different income levels, according to the Old Testament laws. That way everybody could sacrifice the appropriate animal. There were also tables with money exchangers so that people could exchange their foreign currency to pay the local temple tax that they had to do annually according to God's law. But when Jesus sees this, he actually has a very strong reaction to it. For the second week in a row, last week we talked about how Jesus got angry when Peter tried to get in his way. Peter said, "No, Lord, you're never going to suffer." Well, Jesus said, "Get behind me, Satan." It seems that Jesus gets angry when something gets in between him and people's salvation. When something gets in the way between God and people. And that's what we see here. So Jesus made a whip out of cords or rope and drove all from the temple courts. He scattered the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. To those who sold doves, he said, "Get out of here. Stop turning my father's house into a market." It would have been easy enough to find rope in the temple courts with all of those animals tied up. So he grabs one, starts whipping things, whipping people, maybe even whipping animals out of the temple courts. He overturns all of the money changers' tables with coins scattering everywhere. The doves, though, he was a lot nicer to. He just told those people selling those, "Just get out of here." Kind of an interesting picture of Jesus, isn't it? Picturing him angry and whipping things all over the place. Why did he react that way? Why did he get so upset? Well, what was the temple supposed to be? With all of those animals in there, it was getting in the way of that. The temple was supposed to be a solemn place of prayer and where you could offer sacrifices to God. It was where people could focus on the godly sorrow over sin and God's grace in forgiving those sins. Imagine here having animals walking around as you're trying to worship. And then not just the noise of it, but the stench of what the animals would leave behind. Add to that the money changers and all of the loud bartering that was going on back and forth. And as you're trying to sing and pray and worship your God, you can't have 100% focus. So Jesus made a whip. He whipped those things out of his temple. It was getting in the way between God and the people. So Jesus whipped his temple into shape. What would Jesus whip out of your lives or out of your hearts? You and I now, did you know that, are temples to God. Just like we saw in Romans chapter 8, we have the Holy Spirit. The Spirit lives in us. That means we are God's temple. God's temple was a symbol of God living among his people. So what's getting in the way of God's temple in you? What would Jesus whip out of your life if he was here today? What gets in between your house and God's house on Sunday mornings? Warm bed? Busy week? Kids' activities? Or you do go maybe once or twice every 4 or 5 weeks, 40 to 50% up to that, which is a pretty good average in baseball. As if God only wanted 40 to 50% of your heart. But those are just symptoms anyway. It's usually a symptom of not putting God first in your life. Or when you get here, do you have any distractions? Maybe you have the stench of guilt. Maybe you have the barrier of a complacent heart. Maybe you have the noise of tension and inner bickering between you and another congregation member. Or maybe you are greedy like those temple money exchangers who would ask for an extra fee so that they could line their pockets. Maybe you're greedy in that I want my kind of worship. I want my favorite hymn. But we're not just God's temples here. We're God's temples out there too. We're his walking temples. So what does God want to whip out of your life? You know, he does that with the law from the first lesson. That helps strike the law, that the law helps strike the sin in our hearts so that we can see where we're not totally zealous for God. Take out your bulletins again. Go to the first lesson. I'm going to briefly read through the first lesson again. I want you to think about it and reflect. The whip of God's law, what is that striking in your heart as I read through this? You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. Honor your father and mother and your government and those in authority over you. You shall not murder or have hatred or anger. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor, including lies and gossip. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or husband or anything that belongs to your neighbor. Did you feel the whip of God's law hit you in any way? So I was reading through those. Anything strike you? You know, when God comes to us in that law and he strikes our hearts with that whip, we can have two different reactions. On the one hand, we could have that godly sorrow over sin, where we realize God's righteous judgment upon that sin is, yep, that's what we deserve. That leads us to recognizing God's grace. And that grace is what leads us to that ultimate destination. God clears all of that for us. That's the path he wants us on. Or do we have the other reaction? Where the whip of God's law hits us and we dismiss it. We dismiss the confrontation. Dismiss that whip. What authority do you have to confront my sin? Jesus, the Bible, preacher. Prove to me that I should listen to you. Show me some sign. Wow me, preacher. Don't bore me, Bible. Prove your power in my life, Jesus. What can you show me to show that you have authority to do this to me? That's what these Jews did. Take a look at the gospel lesson again. Jesus cleansed the temple in his zeal, and it ruffled some feathers. And some of those Jewish leaders in the temple came up to him and said, "What sign can you show us to prove your authority to do all this? Who are you to do this?" It's kind of an understandable reaction if you think about it. I mean, right at the beginning of Jesus' ministry, relatively unknown at some point, at this point, now he's whipping things in the temple and turning tables and creating such a ruckus. And so they're actually going to give him a chance, though. "Prove to us that we should listen to you. If you are a prophet that you say you are, do a miraculous sign. What authority do you have?" Notice that they say, prove to us about yourself. They don't say, prove to us why. They probably knew that part. Prove to us your authority. Give us a sign. Well, Jesus gave him a sign. What was Jesus' answer? "Okay, you want a sign? I'll give you a sign. I'll give you the sign of signs to show my authority to whip sin out of this temple. Destroy this temple, and I will rebuild it in 3 days." Did he just say that he was going to, if we destroy this temple, he's going to rebuild it in 3 days? It took 46 years so far to renovate this temple. And he was going to rebuild it in 3 days, this grand, large temple. If they had a temple Twitter account, they would have been like, LOL, taking a video, check out this crazy guy, hashtag out of his mind. They showed their unbelief. Jesus wasn't talking about the temple they were standing in. He was talking about the real temple. That temple they were standing in was simply a picture pointing forward to the real temple. The real temple was Jesus himself, his body. If the temple is God's dwelling among his people, well, then that was Jesus, God incarnate, right there, living, walking, talking among his people. Jesus says, "Destroy this temple, and I'll rebuild it in 3 days." You and I have the advantage of history. We know what he's talking about. Dying on the cross and 3 days later rising to life. The Jewish leaders didn't know that, but we do. But still, we see Jesus right at the beginning of his ministry tell them everything that was going to happen, everything that he was doing. Told them who he was. He is the Son in his Father's house. And it's the zeal of the Son that we hear about in Psalm 69 that eventually consumed him. It led him to not just live out that perfect zeal, fulfilling every one of those commandments in our place, but led him to the cross. Right there at the cross was where the zeal of Jesus would lead him to have his temple destroyed. That's where that 1,500-year-old Passover festival was going to be fulfilled, as the Lamb of God with his 100% zeal-filled blood would be painted over our every sin, every time we haven't been zealous. It was that zeal that would lead him ultimately to be raised 3 days later. Notice he says raise himself. Talk about authority. We take comfort in that too. As he raised that temple, we know that when we get to our ultimate destination, that last day, Jesus is going to raise us back to life too, where we can live with him forever. God, through Jesus, cleared everything out of the way. So what authority did Jesus have to do all of this? What authority did he have to whip that temple into shape? What authority does he have to strike sin in our lives? When our hearts, in a sinful attitude, say, "What authority do you have, Jesus?" Jesus says, "I suffered and died for your sins, and I raised myself 3 days later." Oh. All right, that's pretty good authority then. So now in his authority, guess what he does? Gives you that whip. gives you that law. Strike that sin out of your life. God wants you, his temple. He wants all of you, 100%. So grab that whip. Start whipping things out of your life, all that sin and all those barriers. Get out of here, you stinky distractions. Get out of here, sinful barriers. Get out of here, you spiritual noise. I'm 100% all in for my God. I have it on good authority that he died for my sins and was raised to life 3 days later. We are his temple. As we can see in the gospel lesson, he's pretty good at cleaning those up. Jesus whips his temple into shape. And that's you and me. God be praised. Amen. Please stand. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ guard your hearts and minds through faith in him until you reach that ultimate destination. Amen. Join together now to sing Create in Me on page 9 in your bulletins. Be seated as we give our offerings to the Lord. This morning in the prayer of the church, we pray for all of those with health challenges, including David Haugen, Stan Kuhlman, Andrea Luck-Lean, Carrie Schwieger, and Leon Raglan, who are all suffering from ongoing health challenges. We pray for Terry Jackson, David Scaltetti, and Barbara Carpenter, who are recovering from surgery. We include a prayer for those celebrating birthdays. We include a prayer for those celebrating anniversaries this week, including Sean and Kim Butler celebrating 7 years of marriage and Jeff and Sheila Jones celebrating 14 years. We pray in memory of Jane Gray's mother, and we also include a special prayer for Marinda Lederman's delivery that will happen tomorrow. We pray the prayer of the church. I'll do that on our behalf, and then we'll join together in the Lord's Prayer. God of all mercy, please hold the glory of your resurrected Son before the eyes of everyone who is suffering from health challenges. In all their difficulties, let your powerful presence give them strength. Continue also to show your grace and love to all who have been blessed with another birthday. Allow them to rejoice over the breadth of your love and the depth of your grace in Jesus. Lord Jesus, as you died to save your bride, the church, grant that same selfless and powerful love to all married couples. Send your life-giving spirit to those celebrating anniversaries to strengthen the bond they have with each other and with you. We ask that you be with those who are mourning the loss of loved ones. Help them not to mourn as those who have no hope, but comfort them with the certainty of Christ's resurrection. Continue always to reassure us that because he lives, we too shall live. Lord of life, we praise you and thank you for blessing Gunnar and Marinda Lederman throughout Marinda's pregnancy, and we now ask for your blessings on the delivery of their baby girl. Give strength to Marinda and wisdom to the doctors. In everything, let your love and grace shine through the Ledermans. Father, send us your Holy Spirit and strengthen our love for you. Help us strike sin out of our lives and show us even more your love for us through your Son, our Savior Jesus, who also taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Please stand for the sacrament. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly good and right that we should at all times and in all places give you thanks, O Lord, Holy Father, almighty and everlasting God. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who brought the gift of salvation to all people by his death on the cross. Therefore, with all the saints on earth and hosts of heaven, we praise your holy name and join their glorious song. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Amen.
Thank you. peace. Your sins are forgiven. Amen.
We give thanks, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us with this Holy Supper. We pray that through it you will strengthen our faith in you and increase our love for one another. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace.
Amen. Amen.
You may be seated for our closing hymn, hymn 745 in the Blue Song Books. May the peace of God.
Oh,
morning. It's a pleasure worshiping with you this morning. Just a few announcements for you. Please stick around for Bible class in between services here. There'll be a new Bible class this whole month of March. We'll be focusing on time, talents, and treasures. That'll be here in the sanctuary. There's also Sunday school starting at 9:15 in the chapel for the kids. Today is LWMS Mission Box Sunday, so you'll see the pink box there in the lobby. And put it on your mind and your heart if you want to give to that great mission. It's right back there and have the opportunity to do so. Once again, the church directory for 2018 has been put together. It's in has a green cover. It's on the other side of the wall there in the lobby, so pick one up. One per household, please. Midweek Lenten services will continue this Wednesday, so 5:30 dinner, 7 o'clock worship again. There's a canvassing opportunity coming up March 17th. It's Saturday morning, so just the morning, about 3 hours or so. We'll train you if you want to do that, but we're going to go out and canvass a lot of neighborhoods in Orangevale and hand out flyers for our Easter services. There's also, you'll notice on the table, there are new pocket invites that you can give. Take as many as you want. Hand them out to whomever. Invite them for Easter to learn about our risen Savior. There's an Easter egg hunt coming up the day before Easter, Saturday, March 31st. March 31st, it's at 10:45 a.m. There's a sign-up sheet in the back if you'd like to give anything or help on that day and volunteer. St. Mark's Soiree tickets are also available too, so check out in the weekly update how to purchase those. That's coming up in April. And then one last announcement for you. Matt Bauer, our principal, has received a divine call to serve as principal of Great Plains Lutheran High School in Watertown, South Dakota. So keep him in your minds and on your hearts and in your prayers as he deliberates that call. He also invites any and all input that you'd be willing to give, whether it's through text or email or phone call, in person, whatever it is. Go ahead and talk to Mr. Bauer about this divine call. That's all I've got for you this morning. May God bless you this week and continue to show his zeal for you so that you can show it back to him. Please stick around, greet one another.